almost 500 and a few years ago, in the very sanctuary that I have pictured behind me today, Martin Luther's hymn, A Mighty Fortress, was first sung. Congregants looked at this piece of paper, looked at this hymn, and the words that were on it moved them. And really today, we Lutherans frequently sing A Mighty Fortress on a regular basis, and on Reformation Sunday, it's at the top of our mind as one of those songs that are so important to us during this season. If you were watching last week, our music minister, Paul Martin, did a really marvelous rendition of A Mighty Fortress. The words, though, are what matter the most. When people read the words, and what it was that Martin Luther was trying to convey, the message was so important. In fact, all of Martin Luther's hymns, the music is good, the meter is fine, but the meaning behind the words are what matter the most. Martin Luther used music as a teaching medium. It was a way that he could inform people about God. And in particular, in this hymn, he's making it very clear that a mighty fortress is our God. But what exactly is it that Martin Luther is trying to convey in this message? Well, in some senses, you might say, well, he's about to go through this terrible persecution from the church. He is going to stand up for the truth of the gospel message, and he's going to be in a great deal of danger. So perhaps he is foretelling what is going to come. He is talking about how difficult things are going to be for Lutherans and our need to have defense against this world's difficulties. But I think it actually goes far, far deeper. Because it's not that Martin Luther is saying that our God is a mighty fortress against the bad guys that we're facing from the Roman Catholic Church. Because Martin Luther would have never said that the membership of the Roman Catholic Church is not also a part of God's church. Now, undeniably, there were individuals within the leadership of the Roman Catholic Church that Martin Luther would say were representing themselves and not Christ at all. But when it came down to the rank-and-file priests and the rank-and-file members of the congregations, Luther would have never pointed a finger at them and said, see, they're not reformed like us, so they're not Christian. And so he can't very well write a hymn about a mighty fortress is our God who protects us from those evil Roman Catholics, when he would have assumed that most of those Roman Catholics would be in the fortress with him. So what is it exactly that he's trying to convey to us? One of the early words that we use to describe church, and once upon a time, our architecture did a really good job of conveying this. Here at First Lutheran, our architecture does a pretty good job. If you look around at the church, the Stadtkirche is the name of the church. It's the church in Wittenberg, where Martin Luther did all of his preaching. If you look around at it, you can see that it's got sort of a bit of a fortress design to it. And one of the earliest words that the Christian church used to describe our ingathering here in this world is best defined as an outpost. Not just an outpost, a foreign outpost. Sort of an embassy, and sometimes you will hear people use embassy language with regard to the church, and that is an okay definition. But even more so, it is an outpost in enemy territory, heavily fortified, heavily armed, to be a safe space, a mighty fortress, where believers can find refuge, safety, and security. And this is how Martin Luther is viewing human interaction with God. He's saying that the church here on earth, that we are a part of, is a direct extension of the kingdom of God in heaven into our world. It is a foreign embassy, fortress embassy, an outpost in this world. And God's kingdom needs outposts in this world because this world is enemy territory. And again, Martin Luther is not writing this, I don't think, about what is happening within the dynamics of the church. I think he's recognizing that God's church is foreign in the world. You see, in the world, the message of Jesus Christ and the message of Scripture is not welcome. Why is it not welcome? Well, the world has rejected the message of God's law. And the world has rejected the message of God's gospel. But why? Well, the presence of evil, what we call original sin, that is to say the sin that we all as human beings share, its fundamental nature is to reject God's law because it desires to be a law unto itself. Sin is simply defining right and wrong for ourselves in opposition to God. And we human beings believe that we can do this. We believe that we know best. Every single person you will ever meet in your life on some level believes they know what is right and wrong and what is best. And sometimes they will define for themselves righteousness based upon personal truth. Whereas God defines righteousness based on his own law, based on divine truth. And we as human beings out here in the world, creatures of original sin, we reject God's righteousness in favor of self-righteousness because that's our human nature. But we also reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why would we reject something so sweet and wonderful and beautiful as the gospel of Jesus Christ when the answer is very simple? It also is original sin. See, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of our salvation. Our salvation accomplished for us on the cross, in which Jesus has taken upon himself the totality of human sin and brokenness. Crucified it on the cross, forgiven all of our sins. And for all who believe in Christ Jesus, as Paul wrote in today's passage from Romans, we are forgiven of our sins. And that's where original sin steps in. Original sin says, just as much as I want to be not righteous as God defines it, but self-righteous, I also don't want to be saved by God. I want to save myself. I want to demonstrate my goodness. I want to demonstrate my worthiness. And if my worthiness and goodness is not good enough, if I have not sufficiently saved myself, then I want to be able to demand that that bar be lowered so that I can say, see, I got myself over the bar. I'm good enough. Whereas the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel that we have been saved absent our actions. We can claim no credit for it. We can't pat ourselves on the back and say, look at us, we've saved ourselves from our sin. There's no self-help in the kingdom of God. There's only divine help. And this offends our sense of ego. It offends our sense of strength and rugged determination. It offends us because we realize in our heart of hearts how much we need it. Because without the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. And so the world stands against these things. The world stands against the law of God. And the world stands against the grace of God. But God is still among us. God still speaks to us. God still engages with us. But he does so within his church. And why? Because that is the safe space that we can encounter God, that God has provided for us. It is his kingdom made manifest in this world. And while I'm standing here with this beautiful backdrop of this lovely building, and while if you've ever been to worship with us at First Lutheran in Shelby, you know we have a lovely building. The church is not defined by the building that we are in. We go wherever we go with the kingdom of God with us. It is a mobile outpost. Because wherever someone believes in Jesus Christ in their heart and they are saved, as Paul says in the book of Romans, and this was a key passage for Martin Luther's Reformation, we take the kingdom of God with us into the world. It is a mobile fortress because God travels with us. And no weapons forged against it can prevail, the song says, as do the scriptures. And this, of course, does not mean that we in this life won't face trials, tribulations, and yes, persecution, and sometimes even death itself. It does mean that in the end, the kingdom of God will be triumphant because you and I are promised to live forever in the kingdom of God. And that nothing this world can do can take our relationship with God away from us, nor can it take the promises that we have received from God away from us. We receive those in their wholeness and completeness from Jesus Christ on the cross, and they are untouchable. Just like God's kingdom cannot be overcome by earthly forces. It is in a mighty fortress within our lives. It is what we rely on as strength in the midst of this life's trials. It is the only place where we are safe to practice our faith, the faith that brings us to salvation. Because within God's kingdom, it is God's strength that gives us faith. And so I say to you all this Sunday morning, next time you sing the words of a mighty fortress is our God, recognize that we are surrounded by God's strength. We are surrounded by God's protection. And we are a part of this outpost of the kingdom of God in the enemy territory of the world. Would the ancient world that Martin Luther wrote his hymn in 500 plus years ago have considered itself hostile to the gospel of Jesus Christ? It wouldn't have. What, the kings were Christian? The emperor was Christian? The princes were Christian? The churches were Christian? The laws were Christian? Everything was Christian. How could there be an unsafe space to practice faith? Martin Luther understood. He understood that it doesn't matter what the government believes. It doesn't matter what the leaders and the princes and the kings and the emperors say they believe. This world still is a world of sin. But in the kingdom of God, we are safe from that sin through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who gives us a mighty fortress of protection against it. So go out into the world, protected by that grace. And remember what it is that God has done for us. Amen.